But now they're going to the Horace Mann campus, to this place that they've heard about for, for so long, this name that they, you know, they know. It's there's a lot of great possibilities, and I'm excited to kind of see where we're going to go.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet at WFPR.FM or in the Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, the dial of the push-button things, 102.9. Here in our glorious studio today, there was a school committee meeting this week, so I do want a chalkboard chat. Chair Dave Callahan. Dave, welcome. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, thank you as always. We got the tail end of summer right here.
Where did summer go?
It went fast. We had some great vacations. You know, hopefully everybody got to have some nice kind of quiet downtime too over at the at all the schools. And now we're gearing up for the reorganization. You know, that we've been talking about for about 2 years.
There was a whole lot of work being done in the summer still.
Yeah, oh yeah. They were those poor guys. As much as, you know, school got out, but the whole central office staff and really so many of our teachers and educators, they were still working over the whole course of the summer.
Right. Yep. Because in addition to the kind of the regular summer school programs, the high school experience and new middle school experience, there was the move of however many boxes and trucks and stuff and tables and. Now it still is in that final sorting process to get ready to open on Tuesday. Hello.
I know. Yeah, because we had the teachers. They kind of reported to work on Monday, and they had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They were at some professional development, some staff meetings, and then a lot of unpacking and organizing the rooms. And yes, we lead into. You know, I know this will probably be coming up on Labor Day weekend, and then as soon as that's over, Tuesday, first day of school.
Right. At least mindfully, reflecting back, we've started after Labor Day deliberately because of the move. And that was the choice that you made earlier and the only other time I think we talked earlier was, the last time it happened was, 2014, when the high school had just opened. And they were moving from the old building to the new building, and it made sense. So, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I'm excited, but I know we've really talked about this, especially when it comes to traffic and drop-offs, but just in the broader picture, you know, it's not going to be perfect on day one, and there's still going to be, you know, like some little, you know, bugs to work out. And also, tell me, anybody who moved, there's always that box that you just kind of have that's still kind of kicking around, and it takes a little while longer to fully put up. But, hopefully the community is going to kind of give everyone that little bit of grace. And I know all of our teachers are going to continually work to make it the best school experience moving forward for these kiddos.
Yep, the smiling faces at the end of the day will tell us.
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully there'll be many of them.
You know, and I saw it. I was at, took my little guy and his best friend yesterday to Lincoln Street. The PCC had an amazing event. Right. And he got to go because now we're a Kennedy, we were a Kennedy family, now Lincoln Street. So we got to kind of go and explore the fields that they have over there, check out the playground.
Yes. They made some additions to it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And it is it's beautiful. He was loving every single little bit of it. Yeah. So it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of smiles already kind of happening.
Right. Yeah, I spent a few hours on a day on a weekend catching all the new signs. And I did catch the playground at Kennedy Pond Street now, ECDC 2, or it's going to have some multiple names, but Pond Street is where the second location for ECDC is. So I saw that, but I didn't get in behind Washington and Lincoln, so that's part of my next trip.
they did great, and that was through over at Lincoln. It was really kind of two factors. One of them, when we really first started kind of going on this journey, Superintendent Jagir Lucas went around to he had, meetings with all the different schools, all the different levels, and got some great feedback. And one of them was, she was like, I'm here. I do playground monitoring all the time. And what I really see is, the kids, especially the bigger kids, It's not just the playground and the big sets. They're doing the playing ball. They're doing this. They're doing that. And so they kind of went in very mindful to say, all right, we don't need to kind of just go and build the biggest, you know, playground.
Right.
Lincoln Street especially needed in some improvements. But so they made some improvements, but they really kind of took some of that feedback to kind of do so effectively based on how kids play nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we're able to use the Community Preservation Act funds.
Funding. Right.
To help build that new playground over there. And again, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so judicious use of funding, because that certainly is available. And oh, by the way, that's one of the authorized pieces for it. So
absolutely.
Perfect.
You know, and that's it's something where if the community chooses to invest in itself, it just continues to pay dividends,
right?
You know, year over year over year.
Yeah, because that clearly will get used year over year.
Yes, absolutely.
So then the meeting this week, other than starting out with kind of the recap on the redistricting and all the stuff in between, we did talk about transportation, and it seems like the transportation certainly is in a better stead this time as opposed to last year, because there was some communication hiccups, but those seem to be behind us at this point.
They are, yeah. Colin and Jonna are just doing a knockout job, including at so many different aspects, but especially with transportation. And yeah, and they're also, they're really making sure that all the buses are kind of running at kind of a higher occupancy rate, volume, but just so that way we're able to kind of minimize our overall costs.
Sure.
But while being able to take just as many kids and put them on the buses, especially because I know a lot of folks are worried about how this redistricting is going to impact traffic patterns.
Yeah.
And the more kids that we can have on the bus, obviously the fewer cars that are going to be dropping each of those kiddos off.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and this, I think it'll be interesting at both Washington and Lincoln, because clearly the middle school and elementary combo divided the arrival traffic based on the prior schedule. Now, since they're all elementary, you're getting all at the same time. So that's going to be a little different. And I think from what I remember of one of the prior meetings, I don't recall it was updated, but you may know, having that kind of cafeteria for the early arrivals, that would should help alleviate some of the crunch, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of different, there was a lot of different strategies that they're looking at and that they will try to implement. And just because, yeah, that was one that was, all right, well, if, you know, kiddos can kind of be dropped off a little bit earlier and kind of have like a safe location, like in a cafeteria, you know, grab some breakfast and be, you know, and safely monitored.
Yep.
Well, now all of a sudden, if, you know, families are able to kind of drop their kiddos off within a band, that crunch isn't there. Mm-hmm. It also makes it a bit more flexible for working families, too, to be able to drop the kids off and then head into the office. And so there's a lot of different strategies that are out there, a lot that will continue to kind of be rolled out. And communicated out as we move forward.
Right. And then clearly the traffic in those first couple of weeks is going to get monitored, observed, and if there's some relatively simple adjustments, those can get made, and at least notes taken as to what, you know, strategic things will still need to be done that might require a budget, but we don't have it right away. So, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and that's, and they mentioned too that historically there's usually like an uptick in, you know, in families kind of dropping their kids off at the very beginning of the year. And especially with, it's a, you know, for many, like myself, it's going to be a new environment.
Yep.
And so I think also while they're going to be looking at that, also kind of recognize, all right, we're going to get a little surge in the beginning. And then as people become more familiar and they're, you know, everyone starts, maybe more folks start using the bus. Now let's continually reevaluate. And I know I think our last one, we chatted about Collins, the capital improvement document that he has.
From March. It's still the tick list that he's been marching towards.
Yeah. and it talks about like what, you know, even, you know, here are those, you know, no cost, low cost, and, you know, more substantial cost improvements. And maybe in the future, that's where we start to, the capital money that we would normally kind of get year over year. You know, now maybe this is where we're going to spend our money on to kind of help alleviate some traffic if we're noticing different patterns and such. So it's still a work in progress, but they're doing fantastic jobs. And again, huge kick, you know, thanks to like DPW, to facilities. This is it's a town-wide project that's happening.
Yeah, because you've, other than the high school, you've touched every school.
Yeah. Well, and now, and I guess even the high school, now that they changed up some of the traffic patterns too. And
well, mindful of the traffic that's going to be out front.
Exactly.
you know, now all the middle school's coming in at the same time as the high school, so that just adds a little bit more to it.
Yeah, but, this it was a slight tweak with the start times as well, just to create a little bit more of a buffer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, every from pre-K all the way to high school, it's getting touched in some capacity. But again, it's delivering a better educational experience for our kids. And I know we chatted about this before, but you know, the savings to the overall kind of town, it's $3 million annually. And especially after the failed override, when we effectively cut $5 million from our budget, $3 million from the savings of the reorg and $2 million because of the failed override and the structural deficit. If on the day after the override, if we weren't doing this, and all of a sudden the schools were then responsible for cutting $5 million out of how we were organized, I don't know how we do it.
Yeah, no.
And so I'm very thankful for everybody involved that for the last 2 years we've been looking at this to try to move forward.
I think in hindsight, certainly, to the extent that I've been reporting for the multiple years that I have, redistricting kind of slipped. Certainly got spread over a couple of years, but I think we're going to start seeing that it is being proved that it was needed. We've already seen on the budget side, but I think the excitement and the combination of the meet me in the middle and the two elementaries, and even we'll see more of it, I think, as the improvement plans come through. But even you saw, skipping somewhat into our handbooks, now there's one handbook for all the elementaries. That kind of consolidation, coordination, but still collaboration and specialization still, or customization still, in the individual schools to allow for that personality. It's still there.
But it's great, because, and I know we gave a shout out at the meeting, but we've talked about this before, where there had been times where if you were on one side of Franklin versus the other side, your kids are having a very, very different educational experience, and now to kind of be able to pull everybody together, not have situations where one class has a kindergarten of 16 and the other one has 27,
and it's much more equitable across the whole board.
And the alignment is there. It's really going to provide just some I'm looking forward to it. I have been for so long, but now that it's kind of becoming a reality, it's exciting. And just as a parent, I'm pumped that my little guy is going to be able to experience it all the way through. And I hope, for many families, they see that. They either, if they don't have that excitement now, they're kind of seeing it as we kind of move forward.
Yeah. So back on the handbook slide, because that was kind of your second key piece where, and for folks who don't recall, but yes, generally at that second August meeting, whatever the handbook revisions, generally in this time, very minor significant ones. The significant ended up being, I think, on the elementary side, just the fact that everyone's all combined into one, and the various namings and locations and all that kind of stuff had to change. That was significant work, maybe, but not significant in the tent of what the actual handbook rules and policies and procedures were. So,
and then we did have at that high school, though, and then there the admin team all across the board is fantastic. Right. But they kind of reported out some of the bigger ones that, like, they're introducing, like the high school, the WIN block. What I need. And so this is, like, for parents, maybe like middle schoolers, they might know, like, the flex period, but just that extra opportunity for kids to kind of go and find out, what do I need? Sure. And, what teacher do I need to kind of speak to, or if I need to kind of do some of that group work right now, but just that little bit of that independence to be able to kind of continue to provide that a bit more specialized, individualized education.
Right.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
And then they talked about post-COVID, there's been a substantial uptick in tardiness and absenteeism, and it's not unique to Franklin. It's kind of all across.
It's kind of systemic.
Yeah. And but they're doing a great job to say, all right, well, we do see these trends. It's very evident that the kids, who aren't showing up to school on time, habitually, are having an overall worse academic experience. And so what do we kind of do to nip that in the bud a bit more quickly, to be, contact the families and get everybody back on the same page?
Right.
They also, there's some great conversations about AI.
Yeah.
the tip of the iceberg right now.
Right.
But
AI is a separate piece. Let me just get back on the. I think for people who, as I understand it, they're now using that multi-tier support to expand that support process in terms of the escalations to include the absenteeism. So they're getting the parents involved more appropriately early in, and that, I mean, now you're leveraging the same process for two things. That makes a whole lot of sense. So hopefully that will, you know, as you get your checkpoints, you know, at the end of the quarter and later this year, they'll show some progress in that, hopefully. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll at least know, and then they can tweak it further.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and AI, that's a whole other ballpark, clearly. But, yeah, it's a challenge to live with it, and I can imagine how challenging it is to try and teach with it.
God bless them all, I gotta say. But we've kind of seen this as ChatGPT first kind of hit the scene, and now there's so many other ones that are out there.
Right.
But they've really been. They're not trying to kind of just, put their heads in the sand, say this either doesn't exist or it's just not happening.
Right.
Figuring out, you know, all right, how do we tackle this? This is something that we need to kind of do. They talked at the last meeting. Will they be moving forward with a task force or what have you? But ultimately, they're aware of it.
Right.
And they're doing the best they can to just to kind of figure out what that new landscape is going to look like and how best to still kind of provide a great educational experience for our kids.
Yeah.
In this new AI world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And to be clear, and we've talked before, but to be clear, in case somebody says, well, Steve's anti-AI? No. I'm very concerned about any tool being used for more than it's designed for. That causes problems. And I will admit, and I think people have seen, I do use AI as the transcript mechanism. Mm-hmm. But then it also is edited, so I don't go to the nth detail of all the crossing the T's and the dotting the I's, but when the transcript of a meeting comes out, I at least make sure that the names are spelt correctly of each of the speakers. That in itself takes some time because, you know, in common names like even Kobe Frangillo, Kobe comes out from the AI as K-O-B-I because of some other famous people that have that name and not of the C-O-B-I, which is his. So, you know, I need to make sure that whether it's Jane, John, Sue, whoever, that their name is spelled properly, and then at least whatever they're saying is phonetically correct. And if there's some acronyms and I can catch those, I'll fix those. But, you know, if I had more time, I would do more. But that's another story.
For the listeners, this is actually Steve and I here talking as well. This is not our AI avatars. So
no,
just kind of running the show.
Yeah, because every time I post into certain places, was AI used in this generation? No. Was it used in this? No. In the transcript? Yes, it was. And I disclosed that. Yes, indeed. I think to go back to the beginning, because one other key piece in Lucas's superintendent update, the hiring status was significantly different from last year, prior years, but still I think speaks to about 10% turnover, thereabouts.
Yeah, there's definitely, they are doing a fantastic job. I got to commend them because there were, I mentioned in the last meeting, you know, all right, well, where can, if somebody knows, where can you kind of find a, apply for the job? But it wasn't that long ago. I kind of said something very similar, but we actually had Franklin TV put up a little infograph to say, right here, here's the website, kind of jump into here, because we were just so desperate for warm bodies to kind of come into the schools. But it certainly is, still an issue. And again, something that's not unique to Franklin.
No.
It's a national teacher shortage.
Right. Tri-County is looking for individual specialists in their world. So I just shared that out. So, yeah, it's another local school, obviously servicing some of our students as well, but they're short in certain cases as well. And I think some of those tend to be the more specialized cases, which is not surprising, The market is such that, it's a demanding place.
Absolutely. And that's why I am, you know, forever thankful for, you know, the school committee in the past, just to kind of bring where, you know, like the teachers now, a lot of the salaries that are out there, at least are more comparable.
Right.
Because it's a competitive market right now.
Definitely.
And we need to kind of remain competitive.
Yeah. So redistricting, transportation, hiring, handbooks, and
And the big guy, Horace Mann.
Of course. Horace who? Horace Mann, the father of education in the U.S., if not in some cases in the world. Yeah, he did utilize in some of the stuff that he had here, from what I understand, having read one of his biographies, did go elsewhere. So,
yeah.
Significant figure.
Absolutely. So, you know, Franklin native. And this was a really fun and exciting one because for the past 6+ months or so, there's been a lot of discussion about how do we continue to honor Horace Mann?
Right.
And so one of the ideas that was kind of coming out of discussions started with the policy subcommittee and then continued on to like the full school committee, but was to take the land where we have like the Franklin Middle School and Franklin High School and you know, label that as the Horace Mann campus.
Correct.
And so, yeah, this was something where I mean, we went at one point through like the we had a policy meeting and then they through there kind of sent me to the historical commission and we had conversations there. We've had conversations out. Town council has kind of weighed in on the matter as well.
Sure.
And but yeah, this week we officially kind of voted to name that property as the Horace Mann campus. And then, you know, part two, to create the Horace Mann Legacy Subcommittee.
Right.
Where, how do, you know, let's make that a reality.
What else?
What does that mean?
What else can we do, should we do, beyond this place?
Exactly. And so, because it's, you know, it's one thing, all right, you know, we labeled this
right
as such. But, you know, yeah, is there signage? Is there letterhead? Mm-hmm. Is there, you know, what exactly kind of should be going into this?
And then how and where do you utilize the campus? So is it, you know, ECDC, Oak Street, Horace Mann campus, or does it matter in that case? And what are the variations? What are the kind of the branding protocols, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's exciting work. And it was glad, especially now, you know, obviously, you know, this term is expiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're down to 4 meetings left.
Yeah, two. Yeah, because you just got 4, 2 in October and 2 in September.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is something, again, that's been discussed for so long. But so it'll be nice now that we have this official kind of vote that this is what the school committee kind of, you know, noted for this land to be done. We're going to have this Horace Mann subcommittee, you know, kind of go and meet. And just to start to kind of kick things off, and as was discussed this week's meeting, kind of establish like some goals and guardrails.
Right.
You know, what are we looking to do and kind of what are we not looking to do?
Yeah.
We don't want the scope to be so wide that we're just spending forever,
right?
You know, brainstorming, thinking about things, or going in different directions.
Right.
But it'll help us to be able to kind of go and set the stage. So then that way, once that new term kind of comes around and whoever's in those seats, you know, come November, can now continue on with that work.
Correct. Yeah, because as I understand it, clearly Horace Mann is not just a school figure. Clearly he's a town figure. The town already has done things with statues, et cetera. But how best within the school structure do we continue to honor his legacy? Mm-hmm. And obviously, as your committee member Griffith said, you know, obviously, you know, funding appropriately, which is what he's advocated for, is one way. But aside from that, how do we help reinforce that on a regular basis so that people coming through know Horace more than, oh, that's the bronze statue?
Exactly, you know, and especially too the idea that this is now kind of going to be on like that with the middle school and the high school that, you know, so we now have, you know, these two big elementary schools where we can now, you know, if it's in the classrooms more, that these kids kind of know the name Horace Mann, they know kind of what he did, how he's so important to Franklin and just the schools in general, that once, you know, they graduate from fifth grade and they're about to rise into the, you know, to the middle school. And I remember when my daughter was doing it was a little scary time. But now they're going to the Horace Mann campus, to this place that they've heard about for so long. long, this name right. that they, you know, they know.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot of great possibilities, and I'm excited to kind of see where we're going to go from here.
Yeah, because having read one of the biographies that Chris Flynn from the studio is putting together, ideally of kind of a four-part video series, if he gets appropriate actors involved, he needs them to do that. That'd be a piece of legacy. But then having read more about him, more than I knew before, the one key piece is certainly not only born here, but he learned from the Franklin books in the library. That was a key piece of his education. And then he ended up going to Harvard. He ended up going to Brown. And he ended up being this, you know, guru, ultimately the first Secretary of Education in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Right? And I could go on. That's an entire book. It's worth reading.
So I'm excited, and I will say too, as you know, committee member Aaron Gallagher had mentioned, had asked if you know, is this what's the composition of the subcommittee going to be? Well, it'll be a school committee subcommittee led, with you know, led by us. That the historical commission has kind of reached out to say that they would love to assist. You know, town council members have kind of said the same, and so for anybody kind of listening at home too, you know, if there's some community members as well, you know, once this kind of ball gets rolling, please, you know, feel free to kind of reach out because we definitely want to take a wide we want to hear a lot of input and a lot of voices from this as the school committee kind of moves forward with you know, really kind of how do we bring Horseman's legacy to the schools and to the wider public and community,
so we can know more of him other than the bronze statue that we see from
time.
Good. So we got Labor Day weekend, then school starts.
It does. And yeah, Tuesday we'll be here before we know it. And then and Lucas did mention too, and for folks maybe you know, there's a staggered
kind of a staggered start.
Rollout where we got you know, kindergarten starts a little bit later, and then the ECDC, and then the ECDC on Pond Street.
Right.
But you know, hopefully all the families are well aware. The bus routes got have gone out. They know when the buses are going to be picking up the kiddos.
Principals communication out to the individual schools, et cetera. People should know who the teachers are, what the schedules are, where the
exactly. And I will say too, and with the buses, as they have done just in the past, you know, bus drivers are going to go and they're going to pick up kiddos,
right?
And so if something fell through the cracks,
even the bus passes get distributed over the first 2 weeks, so it's not something that's required day one.
So if there's a little confusion or you're not sure, you know, did we sign up, you know, the kiddo properly? Where exactly is the bus stop? You know, bus drivers will be picking up the kiddos, making sure everybody gets to school where they're supposed to go to. But it should be a it's exciting. I'm pumped for it, and hopefully everybody's aware of what school they're going to as well at this point.
There's less schools involved, so going one way or the other, hopefully.
Yeah.
Or to the center. Meet me in the middle.
There we go.
Well, thank you for taking time to kind of, not just kind of, but to recap the school committee meeting and the current issues. And we look forward to formal meetings, really?
Yeah, it is. It's happening. We're going to do maybe those paper chains like I used to do at Christmas. You know, 25 days left, you rip off a chain. Just a quick, short chain for the end of this term. But we've done a lot. This has been a big term.
There is still a lot happening. So, yeah. No lack of opportunities to do things, that's for sure. Well, thank you again. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And a quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Manana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.